Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We're your hosts, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover, and we hope you're having a great week so far.
Yeah, we just got back. Our kids were on break from school, and we had a little adventure of our own. Man, we happened upon this amazing state park that was brand new in the state of Georgia on this beautiful little lake. And
we're not going to tell you where it is. It's kind of our secret
that's
now.
Right, hideaway. I'm not sure it's much of a secret to people that live near it, but it was incredible. We were out on this little point. You can't put boats out on this lake that are over a certain size. You know, they're just little fishing boats. And so it was literally us and a sailboat out on the water.
And the sunsets.
It was beautiful. So we just, amazing. We kayaked, we swam, we played board games.
We fed them fish. Yeah, we fed them crickets. But.
And so anyway, we had a great, great relaxing week. But it's good to be back with you guys.
So today we want to talk about something that's foundational in the marriage relationship, and that is commitment.
Yep. I love what Dr. Scott Stanley says about commitment. He said, commitment's one of the most foundational aspects of the marriage relationship because it brings a sense of future to the relationship, a long-term view. And without it, he said, I don't think any marriage can survive because any marriage goes through ups and downs in terms of satisfaction.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that our society has kind of lost view of what commitment really means. Mm-hmm. I think our society is kind of more of a now, and you even said before, I think we live in a very disposable society.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, you think about our grandparents and our parents, they used to fix things and they used to repair things and mend things, and not anymore. I mean, if something breaks or something gets a little worn out, or I mean, remember patches on jeans?
Yeah.
Our parents would buy patches and put on jeans.
And that's why it bothers them now that there are holes in everybody's jeans.
That's right, because you're supposed to mend that. You're supposed to fix it. But now we don't. We just throw it out. Or if we're just tired of it, we go on Amazon, we buy something new, and we don't live in a repair society anymore. And I think that seeps into everything. It seeps into our relationships even.
Oh, yeah. I was talking with a guy this week, and he's in his 20s. He's been with his girlfriend for a while now, and they're starting to talk a little bit about marriage, and it's not something he's excited about. It's scaring him because they have friends who've been married less than a year, and already one couple's already divorced less than a year, and another has been married a little over a year, and they're already talking about divorce. Mm-hmm. And he's terrified of going into a relationship that could lead to that. And so
tell about your growing up, kind of what your dad, he was real specific in teaching you guys, about teaching you guys about commitment.
Oh yeah. He was, he wanted to make sure that if we were going to play a sport or whatever we were going to do, we had to be committed to it. If there was not any, okay, if you want to go to practice today, you can go. If you don't, you can't. And he took commitments very seriously. And he said, even when we were going to play softball, we were committed to going to Wednesday night church. And he said, now you can play for this team, but you have to let them know you will not be there on Wednesday nights. And if that causes a problem and you're not allowed to play, then that's fine. But you've already committed to Wednesday night church. You will be at Wednesday night church. Yeah. And so we had to weigh out those. We had to evaluate, okay, what's that going to do?
I remember you telling me that when your student ministry, your youth group did the True Love Waits.
Oh, yeah.
Commitment cards and all that, and purity rings and all. And gosh, what dad wouldn't just say, yes, baby, please sign that. Sign True Love Waits. But for you guys,
I was all ready to sign it, and I was committed to that. And I knew, okay, this is something that I want for my life and for my future marriage at that time. And he pretty much talked me out of signing that. And I was that legalistic, rule-following child that if you could count on anybody to
hold fast,
it was going to be me. But he told us, he said, look, I appreciate that you have intentions of doing this. He said, but what you're doing with that, you're signing, you're basically making a covenant, and that's a promise that you don't take lightly and you don't go back on. So I would rather you not commit yourself to something like that, that you, he said, you don't know what your future is going to hold, and you don't want to have broken that contract, that covenant that you've made, which is even more important, even we'll talk about, but different from a contract. You're making a promise to God, and he said, they're very serious ramifications if you break a covenant.
A covenant with God.
Yeah.
Wow. Good so, daddy.
Yep.
So that's what we're going to unpack a little bit today is commitment.
Hey, everyone. Want to put some fun back in your marriage? Then jump over to themarriageadventure.com. It's world-renowned. And join the Marriage Adventure Challenge. It's 52 adventures in 52 weeks. You can even challenge other couples and friends. You'll not only have fun, but your kids will thank you for it. Now back to the show.
So today we're talking about commitment, and this will be the first of a few, because this is a broad, big, deep topic. But going into marriage, and we do the premarital workshop at our church, and we do premarital counseling with couples. And I think going into marriage, very few couples truly understand the level of commitment it takes to be married. And I'd say when we got married, we thought we understood it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and to be honest and to be fair to these couples, you only know what you know.
Right.
You've only experienced what you've experienced. And at that point in your life, unless this is a second marriage or unless you're older and you've kind of been through, you got a little life on you, if you're in your early mid-20s and you've never been in marriage before, you just don't know what you know. But we base a lot off of feelings. And when you take your vows, a lot of those vows you're taking when you get married, you're basing off of the feelings that you're in right then. I'm in the shallow end of the pool, and that's all I know, and that's what I'm basing this level of commitment on. And you can't fault people for what they don't know.
No.
You look, at that point in your life, you look towards your feelings to validate your commitment.
Well, in a lot of ways, it is a blind commitment because, you know, you say for better or for worse, but at that point in your relationship, all you've really experienced is for better. And you don't know what that for worse is going to look like.
It's like a little kid that gets saved and I'm repenting of my sins. what have you really done?
That's true.
I think, you know, you hit your brother or something.
Well, in this stage, in his book, The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman talks about the stage as limerence. Uh-huh. It's that stage where you...
A lot of people call it puppy love.
Yeah, you're kind of... You wear these rose-colored glasses towards your fiance or the person you're dating. You've kind of got this, they can do no wrong. They're perfect for me. And no matter what anybody says, you can't see the bad because you're in that in love emotional feeling, which is not a bad thing.
It's necessary. It's needed.
Yeah.
It's a lot of times that limerence or puppy love stage, it's a bonding agent in a relationship that super glues you together. I think without it, marriages probably wouldn't happen.
No, but that stage only lasts about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And then at that point in your relationship, it's got to be based on something else because you're going to experience some really hard things, even in the first year, because that's when you're learning to live with somebody. You're learning to...
Hopefully you haven't lived with them before.
Right.
But Gary Chapman says that after that limerence stage, you move into what he calls true love or real love. And it doesn't mean that the limerence stage isn't love. We don't want to minimize that. But you move into true love and real love because real love is based on a choice. Mm-hmm. It's not based on a feeling.
At this point, you've collected more data on the person.
Right,
you know if they leave the toilet seat up or down.
Yeah,
you know if they leave their towel on the floor when they're done. You know all these things and the things that bother you or the even deeper, sometimes character issues can arise in marriage at that point. And now you're having to base your commitment to this person on something beyond just your feelings. And
I'm choosing you and us.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Well, when we get married, we stand before our friends and our family, and we have that little phrase, we say, I do. And we're not really saying we do. And what I mean by that is when I said I do, hopefully that was me saying I do no matter what. Mm-hmm. It wasn't saying I do if you do.
Right.
I was promising you for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, and that I do, that I'm committing to you. I'm committing my heart, myself physically, myself emotionally. Mm-hmm. I'm committing to you and to us and the plans we've made for our future. And
no one goes into that. It, like you said, it's a blind commitment. No premarital couple or couple before they get married go into this with a, well, what does worse look like? Okay, so you just think about the worst possible situations in a marriage. You know, one would probably rank up there, they would say, would be infidelity.
Yeah.
Okay, before you get married, well, what would you do if one of us cheated on the other?
Yeah.
Right? It's what you gonna do there? How you gonna craft your vows around that? And then, or if heaven forbid, a child, you know, passes, or one of you gets deadly. What if I get Alzheimer's young age? Right? I mean, you got to care for someone.
Well, what if I deeply want children, but we're not able to have them?
Right?
Am I still in? Do I know what the for worse looks like, or for richer and poorer? Mm-hmm. Do we know what it's like to live? Well, we do. We know what it's like to live on like 7,000 but we.
You don't go into it saying, well, I'm going to make a commitment to you and we'll just find out when we get to those points and I'll let you know then. It's a blind commitment. You say, I love you enough that I'm going to make a choice no matter what to choose you.
Well, I think that's the difference in marriage, the idea of covenant versus contract.
Yeah, so we just looked up, as we're talking about that, we looked up, okay, what's the difference between a covenant and a contract? And a contract is an agreement between parties, while a covenant is a pledge. Mm-hmm. So I'll say that again. A contract is an agreement between parties, but a covenant is a pledge. A contract is an agreement you can break. And if one party in the contract breaks it, then you can get out of it.
Yeah.
Right, so Bonnie, if we'd signed a contract and you broke it, it's null and void. I can get out of it. While a covenant is a perpetual promise that I'm making to you, it's regardless of what you say. I almost said irregardless. That's not correct, right? So, but regardless of what you do, I'm gonna keep this promise I made to you. You seal a covenant while you sign a contract. I love that. You seal a covenant, you sign a contract. A contract is mutually a mutually beneficial relationship, while a covenant is something you fulfill.
Wow. So that's basically saying, I do in our relationship, even if you don't.
Even if you don't, yep.
I mean, and that goes back, that makes me think of kind of the age of sail when naval military, they had this practice of nailing their colors to the mast.
Their flag.
Yeah, nailing their flag up to the mast. It's that, okay, I'm going into this. The leader would say, there's a chance that this is going to end badly. There's a chance that we're going to get in this and we're going to be afraid and we're going to want to turn back.
So what they would do is they would hoist their flag up.
Yeah.
And you knew what country they're from or what army they're with, what sailing fleet they're with. Or if it got bad, they would hoist up a white surrender flag.
Yeah, and they would pull down their colors.
Right, and they'd surrender their ship. But what happened when they nailed their colors?
When they nailed it, it was saying, doesn't matter what happens, we have no option to retreat.
We can't pull this down.
No option to surrender. We're going to work through, we're going to take our way all the way through this. We are going to succeed. There's no option to fail. I'm not going to pull the colors down just when it gets hard. And we say, okay, let's wave the white flag. We're done. In marriage, I think so many people go into it thinking there's always the back door. There's always
a way out.
A way out. And I know when we first got married, we made a promise to each other. It wasn't written in our vows, but it was something we said. we're never going to use that word, the D word.
The divorce word, yeah.
We're not allowed to bring that in. It's not a threat. It's not something we can say, well, if you do this, I'm just going to, well, I guess we'll just get a divorce. We're never mm-hmm. going to threaten each other with that. It's not going to be an option. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many couples go into marriage.
And maybe they say it, but then they get in a situation and everything changes. Yeah. And, but it's, you got to make a commitment that no matter what. And so the question comes up, what if, and this is a question I get all the time as a pastoral counselor, what if I'm all in, but my spouse isn't? And there's many times I'll have one of the other, the husband or the wife, sit in, and the spouse isn't. Matter of fact, yesterday, or day before yesterday, I had a lady come in, and her husband abandoned her. And in that situation, she really doesn't have a choice. She doesn't have anything to work on because he's left. And the scripture speaks to abandonment. Another case is the wife's, he's not going to change. He's not going to put all in this marriage, and he's out. What do I do? Do I plan for the future? And how do I plan for the future? And my advice to her, God was kind of growing her and spiritually. And I told her, I said, you've got to be obedient no matter what. And if he's living in the basement, they'd kind of separated within the same house. But no matter what, you have to be obedient, and you've got to be obedient to God. And as long as there's hope, you have to die to yourself. You have to work on that marriage. And until the day that person comes to you and says, I'm sorry, I'm not in, I'm out, then you have no choice. But obedience doesn't always, it's not easy.
No.
And obedience doesn't always lead to the outcome we want. But what we have to hang to is the promise that God works all things together for good. And I don't know if we'll know until we're in heaven and able to look back on the puzzle of life in all eternity to see how things work together for good. It doesn't always work together for good in the short term,
yeah.
But in the long game, obedience is what we have to do. And that's how you have to respond. Even if your spouse isn't in, you have to be obedient to God. And unless we're in a case of physical, emotional, I mean, a physical or sexual abuse or something like that, or abandonment.
Well, I think Jesus was the greatest example that we can look to for the situation of I do even if you don't, because it wasn't just for him. It wasn't just, I mean, he pledged himself to his bride, the church, mm-hmm. and he wrote that pledge in blood on the cross for us. And it wasn't just a matter of I do if you don't. He knew we wouldn't. It was mm-hmm. I do even though I know you won't.
Yeah.
It was no matter what you do, unconditionally, I am surrendering my life on this cross to ransom you and to bring you to myself as my bride. And I'm going to make you that spotless and pure, even though you're not, even though you run from me, even though you're unfaithful to me, no matter what you do, this is my covenant to yeah. you. This is my promise.
While we were still sinners,
yeah,
we didn't do anything to deserve it.
Mm-mm.
God, who is rich in mercy, made us
alive
in him. And we didn't deserve it. And Christ did that for us.
But, and I know people want to say, yes, but that's Jesus. I'm not Jesus.
Yeah, and we try to come up with, when we're in the middle of it, that's the out, we say. Mm-hmm. Oh, but he was God, and I'm human. And there's two things to that. I'd probably speak into that. The first thing is there were aspects, many aspects of Christ's Christ likeness, godhood, that he had to, I don't think that's a word, godhood, that he had to suspend the attributes, that he had to suspend when he came to earth to fit in this man suit, to be a man. And he was not just fully God, he was fully man. It wasn't that he was God and he pretended to be man, he was God and he just kind of No, he was fully man when he was here. He has the ability to be fully both, fully God and fully man. And I know that's hard for us to understand and impossible to understand, but he was fully man. And he endured every temptation that we could endure while he was on this earth. So hold fast to that. Another thing that I think makes that excuse null and void is if you're in Christ, if you're a Christian, you're not just man. You're not just woman. You are superhuman. You have got the, I mean, think about it. You've got the creator of the world who created all the galaxies, all the planets, created, breathed life into mankind, living inside of you. And don't diminish that. You have the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. So you're not just, oh, well, I got this old sin nature I'm going to fall back on. No, it's not just Bible speak or a Bible story. This, you have the righteousness of God in you. And
it's why he rose from from death. That's right. It's why he had to be resurrected.
So he could put his life in us.
Absolutely.
And so when I'm walking according to the flesh and living an independent life, yeah, I have no power. But when I'm walking according to the Spirit and I'm living dependent on him, then I have the power. He tells us, he gives us the strength to love as he would love. It wouldn't be in Scripture to forgive as Christ forgives. Why would he do that? That'd be so frustrating if he put words in Scripture telling us to do something and we have no means to do it. Mm-hmm. So if he put words in Scripture and a command for us to do, then don't you think he gives us the power and the strength and the ability to do that through him?
Yeah, and to,
he does.
And that it takes, that's what it takes. It takes Christ living through us to have the strength to honor the commitment that we've made to each other. I mean, we're not perfect. There are things we disagree on. There are things throughout our marriage that it's not always been the easiest thing, but we know Christ living through us gives us the strength to be committed to each other, to be committed to the best for each other and for the greater good for our marriage.
Yeah, and when I'm not walking with God daily, I do not have the power to love her in a covenant relationship. It's only when I'm abiding. I can manufacture it for a little bit, but it's only when I'm abiding that I have the power to do that. So Bonnie and I, we love to binge watch shows, and thankfully our taste in shows are similar.
Yeah,
it's very rare we don't want to watch the same show, and occasionally I can't get her to watch Stranger Things. But other than that,
it's too creepy. I can't.
that's the top end of my creep factor, but I do like it. But anyway, one show that we've gone back and we've binge watched is the show Chuck. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've heard of it or watched it, but it's campy, but it's fun, and it's so anyway. But it one episode we were watching the other day. Chuck, he's a spy, and his partner's a spy, and they're in love, and all this, and they're getting ready to be married, and here's a spoiler. She had some things in her life growing up that he didn't know about, and so she drew up a prenuptial agreement. She was saving some money to help out a family member, and so she drew up this prenuptial agreement, and it was amazing how he responded to that prenuptial agreement.
It was his own. He came back and it shocked us because this is not the world's view. And
no,
this was on a TV show, and that he responded with his own prenup to say, no matter what happens, I'm committed to you.
I choose you.
I'm committed to love you and to never use the divorce word, and that I will never have to force us to use your prenup because
And he came to a point where he had to give up his family, his life, and everything for her. And he chased her, he pursued her, and it was really,
there's no way out.
Refreshing to see. That's exactly what he said. Yeah, he said, "There's no way out of this," and that was and that's a great picture from a secular TV show of what God calls us to do. So, action steps for today. How do we take this? What's the next steps? How do we unpack that?
I think we've got to, first of all, we've got to evaluate whether our commitment that we've made to each other, our marriage vows, the promises we've made, have we made those based on feelings? Mm-hmm. Have we made those based on the for better side of our vows without accounting for the worse? Or have we made a choice that no matter what, that we're in this? Have we nailed our colors to the mast in our marriage? Mm-hmm. And we've got to decide if we've done that.
Yep. I think a good thing to do is if you sat and you listened to this and you believe it and you bought in and it resonated with you, then great. And maybe you've never been tested in your marriage. What are you going to do? You're not going to go out and create a scenario where you are tested. But you just daily surrender your heart and surrender to your marriage and walk in that. But if you've been listening today and maybe it hit a discord with you, or maybe you're at a place in your marriage where what's my level of commitment? And is it a contract? Is it a covenant? I think that's something you've got to pray through. And that's something you've got to look in the mirror and you've got to say, am I in if, or am I in
no matter what?
No matter what. And you've got to re-engage that covenant with your spouse and say, I make a covenant with you and with God that I love you no matter what. And I think a good step to do is display your colors. You know, in scripture, they crossed over the river and they set up a monument of stones to remember. And we see that throughout scripture. It's a visual representation of an inward commitment. I mean, it's kind of like your wedding ring, right? And so display your colors. And how you do that, I don't know. Maybe you paint a flag and nail something up on your wall in your house or your bedroom. And Bonnie and I, several years ago, went through something and we renewed our covenant to each other and we found a massive rock. You remember that? Yeah. We were trying to get that in our backyard.
It was heavier than we thought it was.
Oh my gosh. And we put this massive boulder in our backyard, and that every time I see it, I remember the covenant that we made to each other. And so maybe do something visual that reminds you of that. And that's a good thing.
Another step you can take this week is to commit to each other that you're going to do something fun together
every week.
Just go on an adventure. That nothing sparks excitement and renews your commitment to each other like having fun like you did when you first committed to each other.
Yeah.
And we've kind of given you a tool to do that. You can go over to themarriageadventure.com and
world-renowned marriageadventure.com.
Yeah, and join our Marriage Adventure Challenge. And when you go to our website and you commit to that challenge, you're going to get a free download of tons of ideas for adventures you can have together. And it's a great commitment that you can make together to invest in your marriage. And
So join us again next time. Next week, as we continue our conversation about the impact that commitment has on our marriage. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.